Chapter 1. Leith. Snow falls heavily as I lift me axe and swing it, but I welcome the way the wet, icy flakes cool me body. Every stroke of the axe makes me muscles ache, and I'm damn near blinded by the snow, but I don't bloody care. This is where I find myself. Other men might lift weights and run on a treadmill that goes nowhere, but I'd rather work in the great outdoors on a day like today to keep myself in peak physical shape. The captain of the clan is meant to garner respect and enforce the laws of our men when necessary. So, I train. I run the mountainous terrain, chop wood on our vast wooded property, and spend as much time outdoors working the land as I can. It's quiet in the woods, the snow insulating us against both cold and noise. I swing the axe again, my anger at the meeting we had this morning forcing my axe with greater gusto than before, imagining that somehow I can exorcise my demons with my aching muscles and the cut of the blade. It doesn't work, though. It never does. Still, I try. My final blow splits the log in two, the blade sinking into the stump with an air of finality. I'm heaving with the effort, panting and sweating as I take a moment to admire the clean, fresh cut of the axe, the smell of the freshly cut pine, before I resume my work. Leith? Paisley's high voice is quickly drowned out by the wind, but I heard her clear enough. I turn, still panting, to see her standing in the doorway to the back entrance of our lodge. My youngest sister's just turned 17, on the cusp of womanhood, the roundness of youth fading with every day that passes. Soon she'll be wanting to leave our reclusive home in the mountains. I sigh. I haven't been out here long enough. Haven't even touched the anger that boils within me, the fury that lies in wait, like a prowling mountain lion. I can feel it fueling me even now. Aye. She rolls her eyes.
Really, Leith, it's fucking snowing out, and you're bare-chested like you're ready to sunbathe on the beach.
I lean on me axe and give her a withering look. It's hot swinging that axe, and you'd better watch that smart mouth of yours before Dad hears you swearing. I'd better not hear it again myself. She opens her mouth to protest, then thinks better of it.
I don't understand why you boys swear like damn convicts, but God help the Cohen women who curses, she mutters.
I don't bother explaining the double standard, or how it swings both ways. The girls may not be able to curse like we do, but on the flip side, they haven't been held to the brutal standards of our upbringing either. If I rolled my eyes at my father like she does, I'd get the back of his hand across me mouth, even at the age of 30. Even as the highest-ranking member of the Cohen clan. I'm technically even above him in the rank, but once a captain, always a captain. Did you come out here to tell me how to dress, or tell me something of actual importance? I start to turn away from her to grab my axe again, tired of her nonsense already.
Dad wants you, and he said be quick about it.
I bury my axe in the earth, snag me shirt from a nearby low-hanging branch and head back inside. Bram Cohen may have retired and appointed me clan captain, but he's still me father. I kick snow off me boots as I enter the house, and Paisley frowns.
Don't really understand why you chopped the wood, Leith. We've staff to do chores like that, and you know it. Why do you bother?
For the same reason Mum cooks dinner once a week, even though she doesn't need to either. Paisley still frowns but doesn't reply. If she doesn't understand the correlation, she has more growing up to do than I thought.
Good afternoon, Mr. Cohen,
Mary says, stirring a large pot of soup on the stove.
Are you wanting dinner, sir?
I shake my head. No, thank you, Mary. I'll eat later. She nods.
Yes, sir.
She's one of several staff that runs both the mountain lodge where my parents reside and our clan meets, as well as the chalets that decorate the outskirts of our home. Last year, my family ventured all the way south to pay the Irish a visit, to save Mary from a heap of trouble. They're our allies, one of the few clans who've got our backs. She's been even more loyal and dedicated to us ever since. It's warm in here and smells strongly of Scottish broth and freshly baked bread, but I'm not hungry. My mind is too occupied with what we discussed this morning, and moreover, what my father's called me in for. I walk through the kitchen, nodding to a few of my men who sit at the heavy farm table in the corner of the room with pints of ale and hearty sandwiches. They stand out of respect when I pass, but I wave at them to give them leave to relax. Paisley, tall and willowy like Mum, keeps up with me long strides. She's chattering on and on about the trip she's taken to the island, but I only half hear her until she says she's leaving at the weekend. "What do you mean, at the weekend?" I ask her sternly. "Why has no one said a thing about this before now?" She gives me a haughty look.
"Not sure how else to say it, as in Saturday and Sunday. Perhaps that makes more sense to you then."
God, my father spoiled the lass and let her get a smart mouth, and she's usually the more timid of me two sisters. Honestly, I won't put up with it myself. I pause before I enter my father's study, plant me hands on the hips, and give her a cutting look. Need I remind you, Paisley, that though Dad's the patriarch of our clan, as clan captain, I can override where you go and when. She blinks and stares, soft blonde hair falling in those wide blue eyes she inherited from me mother. She shoves it behind her ears angrily.
"What?"
I've been appointed clan captain as of January 1st, which you're well aware of, aren't you? Before then, I was clan chief, second in command. Now, as captain, I rule all members of the Cohen clan. She opens her mouth, then closes it like a fish out of water.
"Aye, of course I bloody well know it. But I..."
"Language." She starts as if I struck her, then pales. She looks at me pleadingly, and her eyes brim with tears.
"Leith."
"Hmm?"
"Why would you do such a thing?"
"Because a woman of your stature and rank ought to know how to conduct herself better. I'll consider allowing you to travel, but only with a firm guard in place." I remember what it was like being her age, but back then, things weren't the way they are now. She opens her mouth to speak, then shuts it.
"Fine, then."
Paisley bows her head and nods, then quietly walks away, her arms folded across her chest. I sigh before I open the door to my father's study. I remember the days when the two of us were peers. I remember teaching her how to swim in the lake nearby. I can still see the pride on her face the first day she managed to keep herself afloat when she finally learned it herself. I can still feel her crying on me shoulder the day she was ridiculed at school, when her first boyfriend ever told lies about what she'd done with him and how he got in her knickers. I can still feel his blood on me knuckles and the bruises on me hand when I gave him a proper beating, then promised far more if he ever did such a thing again. She didn't know about that. I remember Christmas mornings, all of us in our pajamas, just children without a care in the world. All six of us, when there were still six of us, laughing and joking, tearing the pretty paper with glee while we opened our gifts between sipping from large, steaming mugs of cocoa. That was in the before times, before Paisley became aware of the weight of the power she held as a daughter of the clan, before my mother wore a perpetual crease across her brow, before I assumed any of the responsibility of clan captain, when Tavish was still with us. I knock on the door.
"Leith."
"Yes, sir."
"Come in, son."
I push open the door. The room is dark, the shades partly drawn. My father's new medication makes him sensitive to light, so he typically keeps his study dark.
"Paisley came to fetch me, sir." "She's a good girl."
His voice is gentler than usual. I shut the door behind me.
"Don't be too hard on her, Leith. The Cohen women have heavy responsibility."
My conscience pricks me.
Perhaps I was a bit too harsh just now. My eyes quickly adjust to the dim light. My father smiles at me from beneath thick, stern brows. Even age hasn't diminished his size or stature. His large shoulders casting shadows on the wall behind him, his large hands gently resting on his desk. I remember when I was a child, those huge hands of his intimidated the hell out of me. All he needed to do was rest one hand on one of our shoulders, and he had our full attention. One swing of his axe split a log in two, and as a child, I sometimes wondered if he even needed the axe. There was a time when Bram Cohen was a force to be reckoned with, and I wouldn't come to blows with him, even now that he's 60 years old, and the signs of age and illness plague him. Recently, though, he resigned his position as clan captain and passed the proverbial baton to me. He said it was time, that he'd put in his dues. I think it had more to do with his failing health than anything. My younger brother Tate took over as chief, and Mac became warlord. The head of the enforcers, the rank is only known among the clan. We men of the north take our anonymity seriously. No one but our own, as well as other clans, know who we are or what we do, and we aim to keep it that way.
A drink, son.
I shake me head. I never drink this early in the day. What is it that's on his mind? I do take a seat, though. No thanks, Dad. Everything all right? He sobers, leaning on his elbows and puts his fingers together. Got a call just now from McCarthy clan chief Keenan McCarthy. I nod. I met Keenan last year when we took the rare venture to the south to help Mary. It was the furthest I've ever been from me home in the mountains.
Oh? Aye. And he's got a man on his payroll who's a hacker. Knows the ins and outs of communication and the like.
I chuckle. Of course he does. The McCarthy clan is large and prosperous. Their strength in numbers and skills nearly unrivaled by any other mob I know of. McCarthy says they got caught in the crosshairs of communication and infiltrated correspondence that said Mingus fucking Aitkins alluded to being responsible for interference with the deal we made in Inverness last month. I bristle. Did they? Dad nods.
And furthermore, according to McCarthy, Atkins' men were responsible for the devastation in the cathedral and the attack on Father McGowan. McCarthy's sources say they're planning a second attack this evening.
I curse under me breath, keenly aware that I just chastised Paisley for doing the very same not 10 minutes ago. Were they?
Aye.
He shakes his head, his thick northern accent coming out when he's agitated.
Dinna ye ken, son, the fucking bastards. Reckon they think they'll get a wee bit of leverage if they take that tact, hmm? Atkins fancies himself the fucking lord of Inverness and laird of all.
I nod. Aye, sir, he does.
So you reckon we should pay them a visit, then? No question. Take your brothers and enforcers. Prepare to intervene when they attack the church. There is no need for bloodshed, though a proper beating may be necessary.
Hope I get the fucking chance. I get to me feet and head for the door, eager to prepare my men, when me father's voice stops me.
You'd wait for a fucking chance?
My hand freezes on the doorknob, me anger resurfacing like a tidal wave. Of all the bloody cheek,
Leith.
I exhale a ragged breath before I turn to look at him.
Aye.
There is challenge in his eyes, a reminder that I'll never be his firstborn son, that I'll never rule the way he fucking did.
Remember, the Cowan men don't ever harm the interior of the church. Somewhere outside will suit thee well.
Like I need a fucking reminder. Aye. He can't give me direct orders per our strict hierarchy, but as former clan captain, he has sway. As me father, he has even more. He's given me instructions to harm our rivals to make them hurt, but the heavens themselves will wage war if we harm the church. I shut the door behind me and nearly collide with Mum,
Her hair's gone white in recent years, cut short, but her eyes are still vivid, bright blue. Despite her small stature and age, she's smart as a whip and clever to boot. She's slender and youthful, dresses in simple leggings and tops, and would fit in easily with the much younger crowd of women in Inverness.
Everything all right, son?
Her eyes cut to my father's study door. If anyone's keenly aware of the tension between us, it's Mum. Aye. We've got a job to do. Dad's got news from the south that impacts us. I don't give her details, and she doesn't ask questions, but she walks with me. I'm mentally preparing to leave and drive to Inverness to kick Atkin's arse. I haven't driven off this mountain in fucking weeks.
A word, son.
Aye. I don't have much patience, as time is of the essence here.
I came across Paisley a short while ago. She was crying, Leith.
I roll my eyes but don't reply. I make a sort of grunting sound as I shoot a text to me brothers. Need to run an errand in town. We'll fill you in on the way. Retribution in store. Be here in 10 minutes. Their responses are prompt. On my way. Be there straight away. Yes, sir. I look up at Mum, who's patiently waiting, her hands folded in front of her and a soft smile on her lips. Aye. What about Paisley?
Leith. She's more sensitive than Islan. You know that.
It's true. Islan's a veritable fireball. I grunt again, not terribly interested in having this conversation.
Says you may not let her travel at the weekend. That you told her she had to remember who she was and ask your permission.
I nod. Something like that. Mum blinks once, then twice.
Leith.
I glance at the clock on me phone. I have to go soon. Is there anything else I can help you with? A muscle ticks in her jaw.
Remember that a good leader shows meekness.
I blow out an impatient breath, eager to get going on me task. Of course. Have I done anything that showed you otherwise? She shakes her head and walks away. I have the distinct feeling I'm missing something. 10 minutes later, me clan brothers and I are driving down the steep, narrow path that takes us into the heart of Inverness. We're far enough away. No one ever comes here by accident, but also far enough away, it's a pain in me arse to get into the heart of the city. I make a silent vow that one of me new jobs as clan captain will be to ensure I've got a better route to the city, as long as we continue to be well hidden. The mountains of the north have so few inhabitants, until recently, it's been easy to keep our existence quiet. Now, however, with more people living in the mountains, reclusivity's become harder and harder to maintain. Need a guard dog, I mutter under my breath as I go down the steep incline.
Come again,
Max says, furrowing his brow as he looks at me. He's the youngest of the brothers, but older than the girls. Mac has me mother's bright blue eyes. His hair is dark black as hers when she was younger. He leans back, his feet up on the dash, watching me. His large frame at rest, but imbued with latent power. He's got me father's breadth of shoulders, his arms as big as tree trunks. Need a fucking guard dog, I say, louder this time. With more people populating the city, we're liable to have visitors more often than we'd like. Tate laughs out loud from the back. The middle brother, he's quieter than the rest, but being the second oldest in the family means he's taken on a good deal of the responsibility. He has the occasional melancholy side since our eldest brother's passing. Pragmatic and intelligent. He'd do well as clan bookkeeper or secretary if he didn't have the responsibility of a leadership role. As such, though, he's the chief, the second in command.
Leith, you out of your fucking mind?
Tate says, leaning on the seat to speak to me.
There have been what?
2 people who've come anywhere near us since the fucking summer? 2 people too many, I mutter, ignoring the way the rest of them laugh.
Jesus, Leith!
Clyde, our head enforcer, mutters in his thick northern brogue. He's a massive, burly lad of 22, still wet behind the ears, with a scant beard, but he and Mac are a veritable force to be reckoned with.
You act as if the two people who have come will fucking threaten us. All right, enough, I mutter. I don't care if these men are me brothers. Me father never allowed back talk, and I won't either. I want a fucking guard dog, and we'll have one by this time next week. They're all quiet for a minute. I'm new to the role of clan captain, and they're new to the expectations of obedience and deference. Though I was second in command until recently, the captain commands far more than the chief does, and they know within clan law they have no choice but to do what they're told. All right, then, Clyde says. A dog it is. You know, I've no real objection. I fucking love a good dog. Aye, same, Tate mutters. Now can you tell us, Captain, why we're heading to the cathedral? Aye. I draw in a breath, mentally preparing for what lies ahead. Keenan McCarthy contacted Dad today. Why, Dad? Doesn't he know you're Captain now? Likely not. I'll be sure he does, Tate says firmly from the back. He's the most loyal of our group, and I feel a surge of gratefulness. He ought not to be going straight to Dad anymore, but you? 'Twill take a wee bit of time before the clans recognize new leadership. But just the same, I'd appreciate that, Tate. Aye, he mutters. Then everyone goes quiet, waiting for me to fill them in. McCarthy's hacker discovered that fucking Atkins was responsible for fucking up our deal in Inverness last month. The men mutter curses and grunts. Doesn't matter which Atkins it was, they're all our sworn enemies. Though our clan is reclusive and quiet, preferring anonymity. We conduct a good deal of business from Inverness to Edinburgh, between townsfolk, politicians and our clan allies. Occasionally, we even work in arms trade with the McCarthys in Ireland. But worse, they're responsible for the vandalism in the cathedral and the attack on Father McGowan. Planning a second attack tonight? No fucking way, Max says, shaking his head. Every fucking clan from here to the coast knows the cathedral is sacred ground, but the Atkins especially are aware that McGowan is our clan chaplain. Why? I shake me head. Who knows? But not only is it a power move, I suspect foul play as well. You know, some of the chalices and the like are worth a good sum. Right. Even though I'm in the driver's seat, I can feel the men behind me sitting up straighter. Mac cracks his knuckles, Tate's muttering to himself, and Clyde's large bulk is taut like a bowstring. We'll fuck him up good, Clyde mutters. Aye, we will. But we'll do so anonymously. What? Mac says, outraged. Are you fucking kidding me? I'm not. They fall into silence, some of them silently fuming. Tate speaks up quietly. Not showing our faces is a sign of weakness, Leith. I shake me head. They deserve to be punished for what they did. But I want them guessing who it is. I want them looking over their shoulders when they go to bed at night. I want them afraid for their women and children. I want them questioning every fucking dirty move they make. We drive into the city in silence. Darkness has settled with the finality of evening, only moonlight illuminating the road before us. I'll not back down or show cowardice. You know that, I tell me men. But sometimes stealth is the better choice.